You're trying to find people who have already gone down the road you're traveling, so you can research, model, benchmark, and trend their experience. A college professor once told me, "Gary, you're smart, but people have lived before you. You're not the first person to dream big, so you'd be wise to study what others have learned first and then build your actions on the back of their lessons." He was so right. And he was talking to you, too. The research and experience of others is the best place to start when looking for your answer. Armed with this knowledge, you can establish a benchmark, the current high watermark, for all that is known and being done. With a stretch approach, this was your maximum, but now it is your minimum. It's not all you'll do, but it becomes the hilltop where you'll stand to see if you can spot what might come next. This is called trending, and it's the second step. You're looking for the next thing you can do in the same direction that the best performers are heading, or, if necessary, in an entirely new direction. This is how big problems are solved and big challenges are overcome, for the best answers rarely come from an ordinary process. Whether it's figuring out how to leapfrog the competition, finding a cure for a disease, or coming up with an action step for a personal goal, benchmarking and trending is your best option. Because your answer will be original, you'll probably have to reinvent yourself in some way to implement it. A new answer usually requires new behavior. So don't be surprised if along the way to sizable success, you change in the process. But don't let that stop you. This is where the magic happens and possibilities are unlimited. As challenging as it can be, trailblazing up the path of possibilities is always worth it. For when we maximize our reach, we maximize our life.
Big ideas. Think big and specific. Setting a goal you intend to achieve is like asking a question. It's a simple step from "I'd like to do that" to "How do I achieve that?" The best question, and by default the best goal, is big and specific. Big because you're after extraordinary results. Specific to give you something to aim at and to leave no wiggle room about whether you hit the mark. A big and specific question, especially in the form of the focusing question, helps you zero in on the best possible answer. Think possibilities. Setting a doable goal is almost like creating a task to check off your list. A stretch goal is more challenging. It aims you at the edge of your current abilities. You have to stretch to reach it. The best goal explores what's possible. When you see people and businesses that have undergone transformations, this is where they live. Benchmark and trend for the best answer. No one has a crystal ball, but with practice, you can become surprisingly good at anticipating where things are heading. The people and businesses that get there first often enjoy the lion's share of the rewards with few, if any, competitors. Benchmark and trend to find the extraordinary answer you need for extraordinary results. Part 3. Extraordinary Results. Unlocking the possibilities within you. Will Rogers said, "Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there." Extraordinary Results.
There is a natural rhythm to our lives that becomes a simple formula for implementing the one thing and achieving extraordinary results: purpose, priority, and productivity. Bound together, these three are forever connected and continually confirming each other's existence in our lives. Their link leads to the two areas where you'll apply the one thing, one big and one small. Your big one thing is your purpose, and your small one thing is the priority you take action on to achieve it. The most productive people start with purpose and use it like a compass. They allow purpose to be the guiding force in determining the priority that drives their actions. This is the straightest path to extraordinary results. Think of purpose, priority, and productivity as three parts of an iceberg. We provide a visual of this iceberg in Figure 22 online at theonething.com. With typically only 1/9 of an iceberg above water, Whatever you see is just the tip of everything that is there. This is exactly how productivity, priority, and purpose are related. What you see is determined by what you don't. The more productive people are, the more purpose and priority are pushing and driving them. With the additional outcome of profit, it's the same for business. What's visible to the public, productivity and profit, is always buoyed by the substance that serves as the company's foundation, purpose and priority. All business people want productivity and profit, but too many fail to realize that the best path to attaining them is through purpose-driven priority. Personal productivity is the building block of all business profit. The two are inseparable. A business can't have unproductive people, yet magically still have an immensely profitable business. Great businesses are built one productive person at a time. And not surprisingly, the most productive people receive the greatest rewards from their businesses. Connecting purpose, priority, and productivity determines how high above the rest successful individuals and profitable businesses rise. Understanding this is at the core of producing extraordinary results.
Chapter 13, Live with Purpose. George Bernard Shaw said, "Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself."
So how do you use purpose to create an extraordinary life? Ebenezer Scrooge shows us how. Cold-hearted, penny-pinching, and greedy, a man who despised Christmas and all things that give people happiness. His last name, a byword for miserliness and meanness. Ebenezer Scrooge might have been the least likely candidate to teach us anything about how to live. Yet in Charles Dickens' 1843 classic, A Christmas Carol, he does. The redemptive tale of Scrooge's transformation from stingy, callous, and unloved to considerate, caring, and beloved is one of the best examples of how our destinies are determined by our decisions and our lives are shaped by our choices. Once again, fiction provides a formula we can all follow to build an extraordinary life with extraordinary results. I'd like to beg your forgiveness and take a little literary license to quickly retell this timeless tale. One Christmas Eve, Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by the deceased spirit of Jacob Marley, his former business partner. We do not know if this is a dream or if it's real. Marley wails, "I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and a hope of escaping my fate. You will be haunted by three spirits from the past, present, and future. Remember what has passed between us." Now, let's stop for a second and bear in mind who Scrooge is. Dickens describes him as a man whose old features are frozen by the cold within him. Tight-fisted, with head down and hand to the grindstone, Scrooge pays as little as possible and keeps as much as he can. He is secretive and solitary. No one ever stops him in the streets to say hello. No one cares, for he cares for no one. He is a bitter, mean, covetous old sinner, cold to the sight, cold to the touch, and cold of heart, with no thaw in sight. His life is a lonely existence, and the world is worse off for it. Over the course of the evening, the three spirits visit Scrooge to show him his past, present, and future. Through these visits, he sees how he became the man he is, how his life is currently going, and what will ultimately happen to him and those around him. It's a terrifying experience that leaves him visibly shaken when he wakes the next morning, not knowing whether it was real or a dream, but giddy upon discovering no time has passed. Scrooge realizes there is still time to alter his fate. In a joyous blur, he rushes into the street and instructs the first boy he sees to go buy the biggest turkey at the market and send it anonymously to the home of his sole employee, Bob Cratchit. Upon seeing a gentleman he'd once rebuffed for pleading charity for the needy, he prays for forgiveness and promises to donate huge sums of money to the poor. Ebenezer eventually ends up at the home of his nephew, where he begs forgiveness for being such a fool for far too long and